You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is Tuesday. We refer to that as Camel Eve around here. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, I'm all right.
All right. Good. I didn't even think to ask, but I feel certain that we hit our mark yesterday, didn't we?
We did. Oh. We hit it about like one or two this morning.
Oh, yeah? What are we at, man? What are we at?
Well, when I checked this morning, I should have been checking right now, but when we checked this morning, it was 100,200, so we're probably up by now. So.
Dang!
I know.
So that means like the crowd should be applauding right now, don't you think? Like the applause should like, be just woo! There it is. There it is.
Yeah.
100,000 downloads of the podcast. 100,000 downloads, 100 push-ups, and several apple fritters and donuts later. We are there. Thank you all so much.
Yes.
Yeah, this audience is the reason why. Thank you all so much for that. That's just cool. No, nowhere to go but up. But
that's right.
All right. Well, that's cool. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show for you. 3 o'clock today. Craig Monger, he's one of the reporters at 1819 News. He'll be on with us talking about a story. Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear. The drag queen story hour guy who teaches in the Huntsville City Schools, well, he's back. And we'll talk about that with Craig Monger, who broke this morning. So, yeah, 3 o'clock for that. And then 3:30 p.m., Senator Tommy Tuberville will be on the air with us. He'll be calling in, talking about defense spending. And, you know, I hate it, but we've had some breaking news today. I'll probably have to ask him about his thoughts on Mississippi State's coach Mike Leach passing away this morning. And that was very sad. But my recollection was Coach Leach coached at Texas Tech, and the person that followed him was Tommy Tuberville. So, yep, I'll be asking Coach Tuberville about that, Senator Tuberville, about that. 3:30 p.m., though, we'll talk defense spending and reflections on Coach Mark Leach. All right, and then I got a triple dipper, bar none, so hit it, bud.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. So number one, woke education. Yeah, you know, it's like a never-ending stream of stuff. And when I saw the story on 1819 News this morning about the drag queen story hour guy in the Huntsville City school system, I just thought, okay, what else is out there? Well, there's plenty. So we're going to talk about woke education and then cap that off with a conversation with Craig Monger at the top of the hour. Number two, defense spending. So the NDAA has passed the House, pending passage, we believe, in the Senate very soon. Chuck Schumer saying it may come up this week. All of you folks that work in the defense industry or are still wearing the green suits, you may want to know what's in it and what's not in it, for that matter. So, yeah, we'll talk about that. Defense spending, number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, I didn't get to it yesterday. It's still sitting on my desk, man. I got a stack of stuff. Government-run health care. What happens is not just a fiscal issue, all right? It's not just about the money, which is a big deal. What about the social and, for that matter, medical aspects of government-run health care? It's not good. I'll talk to you about it. Number three, the triple dipper, government-run health care. All right, but in the meantime, let me jump over to my comments for the day. I'm going to open this one. It's really, I guess if I had to say, this is like a pep talk, all right? And I'll start off by saying I love a good movie. I don't know about y'all, but I love a good movie. Sometimes a movie is an escape. Sometimes it's a form of entertainment. But sometimes a movie is an excellent teaching device. I have a favorite book. It's called Spiritual Leadership. It's one of the ones that we have on the recommended reading list on rightsideradio.org. But Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders. And I've taught studies in leadership from that book many times. But the most effective times have been when I chose to use movie clips that accentuated the points in the various chapters. You can imagine what it's like to have a great written piece that talks about leadership under duress or sacrificial leadership or leadership by example, but then you bring it all to life when you show clips from movies like Saving Private Ryan or Gladiator or The Last Castle. My church does this as well. We've been members of Church of the Highlands now for about 12 years. Every year they do a 3 to 4 week series called At the Movies, where the pastor does something similar, a sermon mixed with movie clips. We have popcorn and Cokes in the church, and the points just resonate so much clearer because you can not only hear the points being made, you can see them. Our pastor says Jesus used parables or storytelling to make his points, and that this is a means of doing the same thing, and I agree. So let me tell you about a great one. It's one of the Rocky franchise movies, all right? Some of those were kind of over the top. A few of them were forgettable. But the character of Rocky, played by Sylvester Stallone, has endured because he's an overcomer who came from the school of hard knocks. He was just a normal guy. He was never afraid to just simply do what is right. Of all the Rocky movies, I think my favorite is the swan song movie that was just called Rocky Balboa. The movie picks up late in Rocky's life. He's retired from prize fighting. He's running a little Italian restaurant in Philly. And one night he stops in at a little dive bar back in the old neighborhood. He's surprised to find that the lady working behind the bar is the one he used to call Little Marie from the very first movie. She's a spunky one in the first movie who cussed him out on the street when he told her to go home and stay out of trouble. So he talks to her for a bit. He reminisces about the old neighborhood. And then he finds out she's about to walk home in the dark by herself. And Rocky, being a gentleman, he insists on giving her a ride home. But before he can do that, Rocky's recognized by a drunk thug at the bar who tries to call out the champ to impress the ladies. Rocky tries to ignore the loudmouth as he follows Rocky and Marie into the parking lot, cussing and throwing beer bottles. They get in Rocky's van, only to have that mess continue, at which point Rocky opens his door and Marie says, "Don't get out, it's all right." And then he uttered one of my favorite replies. He says, "No, little Marie, it ain't all right." And so Rocky went and rousted the guy and made him apologize. He got back in the van. That guy sends his apologies, he tells Marie. I love that scene. I think I like it so much because it was just a guy who saw a wrong and he realized that right is still right and it was his to deal with. Too often in today's world, we're told that wrong is now right and we're just to sit quietly and assume the position of subservience. But in truth, principles don't change with the whims of society. That's what makes them principles. By definition, a principle is a fundamental truth that serves as the foundation for a system of belief or behavior. Fundamental truths don't just go away because someone woke up one day and decided to tell the world to back down. The idea of owning your own truth, well, that's antithetical to principles. And yet daily, there are good people who stand by and watch because they're scared to get involved. They're afraid of making waves, hoping it will go away on its own. And let me tell you, bad news never gets better with time. Wrong is wrong, right is right, and it may be yours to deal with. As Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Legends are never told about people becoming heroes for having looked the other way. So is it uncomfortable to get involved? Sometimes. Will someone say something mean about you? Maybe. Will all of your efforts change the world? Maybe. But I do know this. You are guaranteed to miss 100% of the targets you don't shoot at. So quit worrying about changing the whole world. Just change yours. But if you think for a minute that you cannot make a difference, well, then you won't. It's much easier to be a victim. It's much easier to say that someone bigger, stronger, faster, smarter, richer, more experienced can do it better. Maybe. But maybe you're the one who sees it. Maybe it's yours to do. So, like, name your cause. Name your moment. Helping kids, supporting the needy, speaking out at a school board meeting, feeding the hungry, pushing back on woke policies, supporting our local first responders, checking on an elderly neighbor, running for office of any kind, mowing a neighbor's yard who's having a hard time, daring to tell a coworker that you're willing to pray for them, telling a bully to shut his mouth, calling your elected officials about a bill, working in a political campaign. I mean, the list is endless, but so are the needs. It doesn't matter whether it's a moment in time that needs on-the-spot attention or a major issue of systemic importance. Stop telling yourself you can't be involved or that you're somehow not worthy. There was another great scene in that movie, Rocky Balboa. It's probably one of the best life lesson moments of any movie I've ever seen. Rocky's son has grown up. He resents his dad having been in the limelight for so long. He feels that his own ability to make his own way in life is being hampered by his dad's notoriety. And in one amazing scene, Rocky's son stands out in the street and just tells his dad off, at which point Rocky gets quiet for a minute and he reflects. And then he tells his son about life, about making a difference, about getting rid of excuses, about being willing to do the hard things, even though they're hard. It was an epic moment, man. It was one of my favorite movie scenes, maybe of all time. So I'll read part of it to you. You just go ahead and imagine Rocky's voice, because I'm not going to do that. He said this. He said, quote, Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean, nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth, but you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always going to love you no matter what. No matter what happens, you're my son, you're my blood, you're the best thing in my life, but until you start believing in yourself, you ain't going to have a life. I'm telling you, man, nobody says it like Rocky. I don't care who you are. I don't know who needed to hear that today, but there it is. Right is still right, but there are those that demand that we sit idly by while they tell us that wrong is the new right. They'll try to beat us down for daring to remind them that principles matter. Well, they do matter. But the only proof that we believe that they really matter is when we show the world that we're willing to stand up for them. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. There it is. I don't know why I was in a rocky mood, I guess, today. But the bottom line is that speech, by the way, look it up. You can just Google Rocky Balboa speech to his son. It is a great scene. Like, to me, it's one of the best moments that Sylvester Stallone's had on screen. But the reality is the message resonates. Why? Because it's so true. It's because if we just let it keep happening, if we watch the world do what it's doing, and we sit idly by and do nothing, well, I got news. Little Marie, that ain't all right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, let's not tell you what, though. All right, Boomer, let me ask you this. I was quoting the Rocky movie a while ago, so I know you're a movie aficionado. Yes. You and your family dig movies?
Oh, very much so. I love me a good movie.
All right, so if you had to pick a movie that motivates you.
Oh, man.
I'll back up. Let me do this. Rocky movies. Of the Rocky movies, one's your favorite?
Which one is the one with the Russian?
Oh, that's Rocky III.
Rocky III.
The reason why I know that is because years ago, when I was in high school, I worked in what was then known as the Madison Twin Theaters in Parkway City Mall in Huntsville, and we had Rocky III, and I bet I saw it 19,000 times.
It's so good. Like, the way he goes there.
I will break you.
And then, you know, the Russians working out in his, like, cool way with all these gadgets and gizmos, and then Rocky's out there in the shed in the snow pulling wagons. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I just thought
that's the one where Apollo Creed died too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Victor Drago or whatever his name was that killed him in the ring.
Right.
So inspiring movie overall, though.
Like, oh, man. Okay. So, obviously, I have a lot, but my all-time favorite is I love Gladiator.
Oh, yeah.
Gladiator.
Listen, I think...
I mean, that's just...
I think I said on the air once, when Gladiator came out, I was talking to a guy in my unit, right? We're standing there talking. Sergeant Major Geyser. And Geyser looks at me and goes, "Sir, have you seen Gladiator yet?" I said, "I haven't yet. Is it good?" And he goes, "Sir, I don't want to be a heretic or anything, but I think it might be better than Braveheart." I said, "Shut your mouth." He's like, "I'm not kidding you, sir."
Right.
And I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's good. It's good.
By the way, Jeremy from Huntsville just texted in and said it was Rocky IV that was the one with the Russian.
Rocky IV. Okay.
I could have sworn it was Rocky III.
But he is the Russian was the one that killed Apollo.
That was the dude.
That was the dude. Yeah, that big
was,
oh,
no, that was yeah. the dude. Hey, text lines are open, by the way. That reminds me. I'll go ahead and tell you right now. If you want to text into the show, we'll take it. We got plenty of stuff happening out there that's worthy of your opinions, too. So 833-687-4448. That's the text line. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Yeah, we got tons of stuff on tap today. And I'm looking like right now, I'm going to be doing a thing on woke education in a minute. And on my Twitter feed, Scott Buttram, who hosts this show, has hosted the show for me a couple times, he's actually got a Libs of TikTok video up with a teacher who says that she holds a gender and sexuality alliance club during class time in order to keep it discreet from parents who wouldn't approve. I'm so sick of this stuff, man. Just stop. I got time for a call. One call on the line right now, bud. All right, I'll do that real quick. Line one, Mark from Madison. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, thank you very much, Phil. Right side ruffian through and through.
Outstanding.
I will say, I was going to correct about the Rocky, but somebody beat me to that one. It is Rocky III. Rocky III was the Mr. T one.
Right? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So, but two inspirational movies, Rudy, the football movie, and then also Men of Honor, which was a really good military movie. I don't know if you remember Cuba Gooding Jr. about the sea diver.
Yeah.
It's a great, great movie. Both of them true stories. But the one comment I had, you know, just talking about the schools, I remember like when I was in school with my parents, you know, even when they had to do some of the sex ed stuff, there was at least the common courtesy of, hey, if your kids don't want to be, this day we're going to be talking about sexually transmitted diseases or the birds and the bees. If you don't want your kid involved,
yeah,
you know, fill out this form or whatever. And now it seems like they're skipping everything. And the one thing that just frustrates me is like, I'm very conservative. I'm a Christian, but some of these things, I don't know if it's our fight as much as it's God's fight on some of these things. But it just, the thing that I hate is that they're claiming for equality, but they don't want equality.
No.
They want to be higher. They want to get more. And that's what's so frustrating to me. And, you know, I look at it as a taxpayer. I mean, at some point, we're going to have some kind of revolt in that side and say, okay, well, then the schools don't get funded. If you don't at least somewhat keep common decency in here and just teach math and chemistry and all these things. I don't need you teaching my religion. I don't need you teaching my political views. Just get these kids good grades so they get into college.
Yeah, and the bottom line is it also indicates a clear lack of respect for the parents. Like, we're going to do this. We don't care what you think. Or we'll talk to you afterwards. Or maybe your kids will tell you. We don't want to tell you. It just it boggles my mind. Hey, Mark, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate you very much.
And thanks, Phil.
Hey, and the movies he mentioned too, by the way. I was saying to you off the air, Rudy.
Rudy.
I still remember when I saw Rudy the first time. I watched it like I rented it on VHS. And then I watched it and I looked at Charlene. I said, I want our son to watch that every day for the rest of his life.
So good.
That was so good. It was a true story. Mm. But anyway.
We could go on and on about movies.
I could. I mean, and it's not like I live for the next movie or anything, but when I find a good movie, man, that's just worth inspiring me. And I, like, you know, okay, by the way, going to break right now, Tombstone.
Come on.
I'm your Huckleberry. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plane right. When I say we cover some ground, I'm talking about this show is down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, I got... apparently, the boomer the movie thing has hit the text line hard. So we're like,
you know, everybody just loves these movies.
Just a few examples, JT from Lacey Springs says, "Quigley Down Under." I love that movie.
Yeah.
I love Quigley Down Under. I like Tom Selleck anyway. He's great in Blue Bloods, which to me is the best TV show out there right now. And I'm not even a huge TV follower. We just find one show, we kind of watch it, and that's the one we're like, oh, Blue Bloods is on. Yeah, JT from Lacey Springs, I agree. Jeremy from Huntsville had one I wasn't familiar with. First of all, he's the one that pointed out that Rocky IV was Russian, but okay. But his Revolver with Jason Statham, which I am not familiar with, and Ray Liotta, I need to check that one out. John from Decatur, Boondock Saints. I have seen that one, but it's been a long time, but I seem to recall that one being pretty good. Juan from Newmarket, Braveheart. He's all about the Braveheart. I like it. Mm. What else we got here? Steve from Madison said Hoosiers. That was a great movie. I love the fact that it was true. I love the true stories. In fact, there was a new one out. Have you seen this, Boomer? 12 Mighty Orphans. Have you seen that
one? Yes. I watched that.
How good
honestly,
was that?
That was so good.
Yeah. That was one of those that just like fires you up, wears you out.
Heartbreaking.
Gets you emotional.
I mean, it's,
And then all back in towards the end.
Right. Oh wow. That's a great movie.
In fact, to me, the best movies are the ones that end and then the subtitles come up that show you what happened to people after the movie.
Right.
I mean, like that.
And it
the
shows
scenes.
Like if
yeah.
it, you know, they have their picture, brings them up the real yeah. the real person.
Like when Rudy, the thing comes up with his real picture and it says to this day he's the only one ever carried off the field in Notre Dame.
We Are Marshals.
Oh my
wow.
gosh.
Ah.
See, now you're going to rip my heart out. was that Matthew McConaughey in that one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. How about one that's little known, Reign of Fire with Matthew McConaughey? Have you seen that? I didn't know that was even McConaughey.
Wow.
I mean, shaved his head, got all buffed up and tatted up, and I'm like, who is that guy? But he's a boss.
Wait a second.
Fighting dragons with an axe. You got to love that. Okay. All right. Oh, Randall from Newmarket brought up one from my childhood. I had forgotten this movie, Where the Red Fern Grows. That was a great movie. That one wore me out, too, as a kid. I was like, I was an emotional basket case when that movie was over. That was a good movie, though. John from Huntsville. SpongeBob SquarePants. What are you talking about, John? John, I think you need to raise the bar, brother. I'm just going to go ahead and say. You and I were talking off the air, Boomer, unless you got a caller. Have you got a caller?
No, okay. We're good. I thought I did. But
we're going to get to the number one of the Triple Dipper here, woke education.
Man.
And I know you said, too, that you know you guys moved back down here from the big city.
Yeah, we moved from the big city and stuff. And, you know, one of the reasons my little boy was turning
age.
Five, about
yeah.
school age, you know, starting school. And we went to a lot of schools up there that... you know, that are great for some families. We just didn't feel like it was correct for our family.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to say another school's better than another because I know everybody has
it.
Different needs. Okay. I meant for different needs for kids, you know?
Okay.
You understand that.
Yeah.
But so we brought them down here. We're very happy where we're at right now, and we're very blessed and love seeing him accelerate where he's at. But you know, what I saw a lot in Nashville, even to some of my friends in Nashville, they had some kids in school, and some of them were, you know, rock, you know, I thought they were rock solid, you know, and like, you know, this is the way we believe conservatives.
Talk about the parents.
Yeah, parents.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, they had their child in a school, and, you know, one little thing, they're like, oh, that's okay.
You mean like a lowering the standard kind of thing?
Lowering the standard a little bit in a way that they're, you know, going back on what they believe in. They're like, oh, it's fine. It's just this one little thing. And then before you know it, it was kind of like they were sacrificing and talking, you know, they're like, oh, we just let them do this thing and then this thing. And then before you know it, it was so many different things.
Yeah.
And they were kind of sucked in and then... They're kind of confused on what they believe
it's
in.
It's like the old thing about putting a frog in a pot of water and slowly boiling it, and the frog does not realize he's being boiled because he just gets used to it over time.
Absolutely, and it just infuriates me because the education system, as parents, you know, I want to say, it's my child. You are supposed to be educating my child, and I want to have to say, I don't want you to tell my child what they should be believing in and how they should.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting all fired up. I can't even think right now.
I get it. I mean, you're the parent of a small child right now.
Right.
A very impressionable mind. And kids, and I know your family, y'all are the kind that have taught your kids to respect their elders.
Absolutely.
And so when an adult takes advantage of that position and then tells the kid something that they want to, you know, basically instill in the kid's mind that you as a parent would never have wanted there.
Right.
The child doesn't know any better because the child's been taught to respect what elders say.
Respect what elders say. And also, oh, these are your teachers. You're supposed to be learning from them. That's what we tell them as parents.
Yeah. Oh, you like soft things? You must really be a little girl.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Ah.
Anyway. Well, let's talk about woke education for a minute. Let's do that because I'm going to reach back here and grab my notes because I forgot to grab them. All right. So, first of all, I'll come out the gate with this. I got to update a story. So yesterday during Adventures in Woke World, I had a piece about a lady. Remember the story, Boomer, up in Pennsylvania, the lady on the school board who said that she would not vote for the next president of the school board because he was the only white, the cis white male.
Right.
I cannot vote for the only cis white male in the
have to have a check bar. Check box.
Yeah.
That doesn't do
it. Cis white male. So here we are sitting here in the studio as two cis white males. I didn't know I was a cis white male.
Cis white male.
I knew I was white. I knew I was a male. I didn't know what cis was. There's all this new vernacular they're trying to sling out there. I mean, they make crap up every day. But anyway, the bottom line is this. Old girl has retired. She has resigned from the school board.
Mm.
Apparently, she felt the heat and realized that she couldn't act like that as an elected official and get away with it. Anyway, Upper Moreland School District board member Jennifer Solot, who made those comments about the only cis white male seeking the position of president of the board during an open meeting on December 6th, has now resigned. She says, no, actually, take it back. This is her current board president said that as a result of the incident, Ms. Solot has decided to resign from the board effective on January 2nd. She wishes to apologize for, in other words, she's not doing it herself. She sent in and had somebody else apologize for her. She wishes to apologize for her poorly chosen words, does not want to be a distraction. Well, folks, she was a distraction, and she was also a school board member. She was somebody setting policy in that school system who was openly willing to discriminate because someone did not match what she believed they should look like. And it's, you know, if the person in their personal life has some beliefs that are different, okay. But you can't look at somebody by law. You can't look at somebody and say, well, they're white and they're a male. And oh, by the way, they're straight, like 99% of America. And so I don't think they can have the position. That is absolutely not what's supposed to happen as a matter of law, certainly as a matter of ethics. And oh, by the way, how about common sense? Has anybody ever thought to say, maybe common sense should come in once in a while? Like, I don't know. How about pronouns? I'm getting off topic now. You better reel me in here in a minute. Yeah. This is not even part of my notes. But my pronouns are what the by God English language says they're supposed to be, period. A they and a them is not a singular.
Correct. Absolutely. And why do we even have to pronounce a pronoun?
And if you're if you're a dude, you're not a she. And there's no such thing as non-binary. I am all in right now. This is not even the sole focus of my stack of stuff here I got, but
right. I mean, I was on a social media platform the other day, and it popped up on there, and it said it wouldn't let me go any further until I announced my pronoun.
What?
Yes. I was not happy.
How about, once again, by God, what the English language says they're supposed to be.
Oh.
So what kills me is when you see teachers. So here's one. Storyline here, Fox News, December 13th. That would be today. Story about a woman. It's actually up on foxnews.com right now. I saw it right before the show, and we grabbed that one. Minnesota science teacher claims that cell biology lessons are part of capitalist indoctrination. Yeah. A Minnesota science teacher in the St. Paul Public School District lambasted cell biology lessons, particularly on the mitochondrion. I'm flashing back to words from high school science. Mitochondrion for containing capitalist propaganda. Mandy Young, spelled J-U-N-G, a teacher at Highland Park Middle School, said Lately, there's been a lot of conversation about teachers indoctrinating students to their beliefs, and I always find this funny because our children are seeped in capitalist indoctrination from like the second they're born, basically. And she went on to talk about how it just makes her laugh when kids actually answer the questions on the test and say the nucleus is the most important organ in the cell, because in her opinion, that is just a clear example of capitalist propaganda, that the idea of one thing being more important than another. She's a biology teacher. But this same person, though, has also, by the way, been known to pass out surveys that allow students to conceal their gender identity in the classroom by asking questions like, what name should I use when I speak to your parents? What pronouns should we use when we talk about you? Is it okay to use your pronouns when we talk to your parents? In other words, I'm prepared to help you hide from your parents and to keep secrets from the ones who are actually legally, morally, ethically, and familially responsible for you. And oh, by the way, I'm a teacher, but I'm ignoring the English language. Let's do what we want to do. This is the kind of thing that makes folks like you and I take our kids and grandkids to another school.
Right. I mean, absolutely. Because that's what these teachers and authority figures in these children's lives are saying. I know better than the parents. I can help you, and we can get you the right help.
Yeah. Sandy from Elkmont's on the text line. I saw it. She says, common sense is a superpower now. Well, we bring superpowers to our right side ruffians. Let me just go ahead and tell you. All right, listen, Boomer, go ahead and take the break right now. We're right at that moment. We're going to come right back. I got more of this stuff. Woke education. And top of the hour, we'll be talking to Craig Monger from 1819 News because he just wrote a piece that came out last night, actually, on 1819 News. The drag queen story hour teacher from the Huntsville Middle School system, he's at it again. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, let me jump over with it real quick. The text lines are blowing up. If you want to text in, it's 833-687-4448. John from Huntsville takes issue with the fact that we did not jump on his David Hasselhoff comment. We got several new texters texting in right now. One of them just said that The Shack was a good movie. Mm-hmm. What else? We got other movies that were jumping in there. I knew I saw another one. I can't think where it was
the
now.
The Man from Snowy River.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yes.
That was like epic quality, too. I love that movie, The Man from Snowy River. All right, let me jump over the phones real quick before I run out of time. Jeff from Indiana. Jeffro from Indiana, what are you doing, man?
Down the road. I'm still in Alabama, though.
Well, have you made it to Bucky's yet?
I'm coming up on it, man. It's well, hard to pass that place up, you know it?
I'm sure. What's on your mind today, bud?
Well, I've got the answer to this, you know, like I do with everything else. Wow. We don't need public schools. We need public funding of schools. And then this would all go away because as long as these teachers are working for a government entity, they can't get rid of them, basically.
Mm. You talking about tenure?
You privatize all the schools? Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, if you have your little private school and you have a guy do this and everything, is Phil Williams going to let this guy work for him anymore, or is he going to fire him on the spot?
That's going to be an at-will employment decision that'll probably have him out the door. But you know, but the reality is, Jeff, you're right. Tenure is an abused system, and I've heard teachers say, "Well, I have to have tenure because somebody might make a political decision." No, how about this? Do a good job, and you don't lose your job. That's the way the rest of the world works.
Let's apply this to something else. What if doctors had tenure?
Yeah.
And the guy operated on you is a quack, but you can't get rid of him, but he's going to operate on you. You think that would fly?
I know. I look at it and think, you know, okay, what about the electrician who, like, wires my house? He has tenure. You can't get rid of him. He wired it wrong. The house burns down. I'm sorry, sir, but I have tenure. You can't do a thing about it. I mean, it just, it doesn't work in the real world.
It's stupidity, and we've allowed ourselves to become stupid. So, I mean, it's, you either do the job. I mean, unions are fine or whatever back in the day whenever they needed them, you know, I guess, but they've just like government, they've grown to be basically abusive.
Well, and that's too often the truth. You're right. It's like any other government entity. If they don't enforce a standard, then they keep getting funding, and then they don't enforce a standard, but yet they still get more funding. And there's nothing wrong with allowing standards. And also, by the way, maybe having, you know, some merit-based promotion. Yeah, well, more to come on this one, but this guy in Huntsville.
I want to pay good people and fire bad people. And if you're not a good worker, then either become one or hit the streets. That's just how simple it is.
Go woke, go broke, right?
Exactly.
All right, Jeff, be safe on the road, man. Hey, listen, the story we're going to get into here in a minute with Craig Monger, and then we'll wind up wrapping this thing up in the bottom half of the next hour after we talk to Craig with some things you can do. Like I've got a situation. I mean, I got an article here that literally says it's called Practical Tools to Protect Your Kids from the Woke Agenda at School. And it's kind of common sense, but I love seeing it in writing. So we're going to talk through that a little bit. But let me tell you, as a refresher, it was just in the last couple of months, maybe last month, I can't remember, mid-October actually, Libs of TikTok, which is all Libs of TikTok does is expose liberals saying what liberals say about themselves. That's all it does. It just replays it. It doesn't put a whole lot out there, not a lot of editorial content, some but not much. Usually all they do is just, here's a video of another one, and you look at it, and this person believes he's a unicorn, you know, or whatever, and you go, wow. But what's really happening is they're catching some of these folks confessing to the world how proud they are to indoctrinate kids into whatever their leftist ideologies are in the classroom. And then it galls you when you find out that they do it in such a way that they try to hide it from the parents. Well, and then on top of that, they do things that would never be allowed if they weren't on the left side of the spectrum. I mean, for instance, if you have somebody, if you literally had a conservative, let's go ahead, what's the term we use, a cis white male? If you had a conservative cis white male, I want to wash my mouth out for having said that. But if you have a conservative cis white male who makes inappropriate sexual comments to kids, don't you think somebody's going to wind up saying something? Yes. And yet this guy in Huntsville, his name is James Miller. He's a Huntsville middle school teacher. And he literally is a drag queen in his part-time. Okay. So he's a drag queen in his part-time, not my choice of hobbies, but it's his. However, it gets different when he wants to be a drag queen who then does drag queen story hour for kids and makes sexual innuendos in front of the children while he's doing it, and then goes back to school the next day and teaches small children. Then you begin to question, if he does not have a governor on himself, what is he doing when no one's watching the classroom? What is he saying? Well, he's saying what he's saying. New article on 1819 News came out, and it's the same guy, James Miller. Craig Monger discovered that there was actually a video of him doing a podcast, another drag-style podcast, and he was talking about the fact that he felt like it was his responsibility to make sure that, in his words, he covertly and strategically placed LGBTQ+ materials in his classroom to make sure that these kids got something that helped them understand their identities. And literally, he says, too, his words, the easiest way to get through to them is to read them a story. Oh, look, his motivation for being a drag queen story hour guy. We're going to talk about it with Craig Monger when we get back. Y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, man. We cover down on all the issues and, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're in this section of the Triple Dipper we call woke education, and it's just amazing to me looking at the number of people that go on to TikTok or wherever else, and they literally openly confess, hey, I'm doing these sneaky things with kids, making sure the parents don't know. And you're thinking, man, if you're an ideologue, go out and volunteer for the Human Rights Campaign or some other organization, but stop using my government tax dollars to pretend you're teaching my kids when all you're really doing is trying to indoctrinate them. Well, one of the things that came up most recently, and I touched on it before the top of the hour, was that in October of this year, 1819 News helped break a story with Libs of TikTok's help. About a drag queen story hour that occurred in Huntsville, in which a Huntsville school teacher literally made some sexual innuendos in the presence of children while dressed in drag. And you look at the whole thing and go, my gosh, back in the classroom 2 weeks later. Well, he's back in the news again today. 1819 News broke the story. Craig Monger is the author of the story. He's with us right now on the phone. Craig, how you doing today, guy?
Oh, I am doing just swell, Phil. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Thanks. So this guy, James Miller, a teacher in Huntsville, you tracked down some more information on him. Talk about it.
Yeah, I came upon a podcast that he had done. Actually, he had done it in February of this year before everything sort of popped off in the media and he got put in the limelight. It was a interview that he did with a gentleman who's also known for his drag performances in the South, and they were discussing they discussed a number of things. They discussed Miller's history, what he did, and the confrontations that he's had with people that have come to protest the events that he puts on in Huntsville. He does quite a few of them, from what I've seen. And in the midst of that, he discussed his role as a teacher, in which he said pretty plainly that he was in a quote redneck school that wouldn't put up with some of the things that he wanted to teach and communicate with the students. So he decided to covertly and strategically, his words, place certain materials in the schoolroom, including books about LGBTQ plus issues, some pride advocacy stuff, rainbow flags, the I can't remember the name of the organization.
Yeah, it was Human Rights Campaign. It was Human Rights Campaign.
Oh yeah, it was Human Rights Campaign. Yeah. Okay, I lose track of the three letter acronyms at some point. But yeah, the equal sign. So he just talked about putting that up, and he made some jokes about the ignorance of the parents, students, or both. It's kind of ambiguous, who didn't know what the symbols meant. So he was clearly talking about trying to very covertly get this sort of material into his classroom. And then he obviously talked about moving to being a elementary school counselor, wherein he worked with two-year-olds that he said were, or excuse me, second graders, beg your pardon, second graders, who he said were transgender and were able to articulate that fact. So it was a lot of interesting information.
Well, it's interesting, but it's also just amazing to me. This guy is literally on a podcast disparaging the students, disparaging the parents, And some of the language he used, and you quoted it, was not just like insulting. It was crude language to describe his thoughts about those parents who couldn't understand how the secret symbols he was placing in his room. And one of the things that really struck me, though, was he actually says, you know, I had to move to a rural redneck school. And so right off the bat, he is literally labeling the school as a bunch of people that he found to be lower than him. And yet he's the one who is basically using his ideologies to you know, be promoted in the classroom more than he's teaching, it seems like.
His contempt for a number of people was blatantly obvious in the audio. If you go and listen to it, it was kind of a ponderous listen. I'm not a fan of the campy affectation that gets put on in those sorts of environments. But yeah, he clearly saw people that did not share his fondness for being receptive to these types of things. He treated them with a significant amount of contempt, up to and including laughing and praising the assault, by the way, of one of the protesters. He was probably evidently a well-known guy, at least to him in the area, who he was known for protesting at abortion clinics and protesting at these drag queen events.
Wow.
And apparently there's a video somewhere of him, of a woman really trying to beat him up, and him and the host had a good laugh about that, whereas like a few minutes before they were opining their own fear at violence at their event. So the irony was not lost on me.
Well, let me ask you this. First of all, do we know, and I'm going to get to a couple more points in your article, which was well done, by the way, do we know whether or not the redneck school he's talking about is the Huntsville City School that he teaches at now, or was it another one?
I am currently working on that. There have been a few ideas thrown around as to which one it actually was. I looked, and from me, I think it may have been West Morgan in Trinity. It's a possibility. Of course, I'm trying to access the specifics, so that's merely speculation at this point. But I am currently working on that. But I can't say for sure.
Well, so here's the next thing that really caught me. I mean, just reading about this was maddening enough as it was. But then, you know, there's a whole thing about your first article you did about him doing drag queen story hour, the sexual innuendos and jokes that he was making in the presence of children, which were in the video. I had some trolls on social media saying, well, you can't see kids in the video. Yes, you can. At the very end, you sure can. There they are, front row. But he says in the end of your article, a quote from him on that podcast, that with regards to the second graders who knew they were non-binary and able to articulate it, he found the easiest way to get through to them is to read them a story. And which tells me for a fact, he was doing drag queen story hour with an agenda. It's not just fun time. It was an agenda, because that's how he gets through to them, is by reading them a story in his own words.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And of course, it wasn't just that he described. He described going to gay affirming churches and doing the same thing. He said how it was important for children to see themselves in the stories that they're reading or that are being read to them. So he certainly sees the performances, the story hours, as a means of advocacy. And as to your point about the video, there's another video online that actually has the audio, bits of the audio of the podcast that I was referring to, overlaid with other video where he was clearly with children in restaurants and stuff like that. So
wow.
The whole point of children not being there in that specific video is kind of moot, because there are other videos, a plethora of other videos that shows him doing just that.
Well, so let me ask you this, Craig, as we wrap up our discussion here. Have you reached out to the Huntsville City School System? Have they responded at all on the question of his employment or anything else?
Okay, that is an interesting tidbit that I can't really share quite right now, but I will keep you posted personally, Phil, because I have reached out to Huntsville, and I've also received communication from members of the state school board, and I've gotten some information that I am checking the veracity of as we speak. I'm waiting on communication to come back to me. So this is developing, and by all accounts, it's going to be a very interesting development. I'll keep you updated.
My curiosity is piqued. All right. Well, listen, Craig Monger, thanks for staying on the story. I hate that you had to sit through those podcasts to get to it, but But this is a story that needed to come out. And the idea that the guy just kind of got a pass and everybody quietly went on about their way and nobody said boo about it, and he came back to the classroom, and yet we're finding out now that this is his true agenda and this is what he does. That needed to come out, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to do it.
All right. Craig Monger, 1819 News. Keep doing what you're doing, man, and thanks for calling in today.
Thank you. You'll take it easy.
All right. Take care, Rod. All right, Boomer, take us to a break, man, while I gather myself, and we'll wrap this thing up. When we get back, we'll wrap this thing up. Listen, I want to switch gears. This show is never designed to be just a gripe session. Let's talk about what you can do, what you as parents, grandparents, or just concerned citizens can do. I got some information on that. It's worth considering. And then bottom of the hour, we switch gears, go to number two in the Triple Dipper, defense spending. Boy, that's a switch. And we'll talk to Senator Tommy Tuberville about that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Did not unmute my microphone. That Boomer just gives me the look like, you silly man. Anyway, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right with a microphone that's now hot. All right, hey, listen, jumping back in, let's wrap this topic up. Woke education. So I will say this. Parents, you got to be active in your kids' lives, obviously. And let me also say, too, this is grandparents. This is aunts, uncles, legal guardians. This is concerned citizens. And I don't mean like you need to go and take ownership over those kids even though they're not yours. No, what I am saying, though, is you don't have to be a parent to speak out at a school board meeting. You don't have to be a parent to call your elected officials. You don't have to be a parent or grandparent or legal guardian of a child currently in the system to care about the curriculum being used in the system because it's your community. Because what happens in the realm of education very often is one of the things that's considered quality of life. When businesses, when people, individuals want to move to a place, they look to see things, and one of them they look at is, well, of course, like there's the economy, there's social life, there's churches, and there's education. And if you have concerns, you do not have to be the direct legal guardian slash parent slash grandparent or whatever of a child in the system to care about what happens in the education system, period. So let me just go ahead and affirm that right there. You're allowed to have an opinion and you're allowed to care. And you're also allowed to speak to a school board meeting because guess what? If you have an elected school board, you voted for them, whether you have a child in the system or not. If you have an appointed school board, guess what? You probably voted for the people that appointed them, whether you have a child in the system or not. So I got a piece here from the Daily Signal. Daily Signal came out August of this year. The headline on it is Practical Tools to Protect Your Kids from the Woke Agendas at School. I love that because I say all the time on the show, I never want this show just to become a gripe session. We're going to point things out. We're gonna opine. We're going to wind up, you know, have a little angst about stuff. But in the end, what I want this show to be about is, you know, what I call the four E's all the time. I say it. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative in this world. And one of the things that is so important is that you know how to go get active. Now, most of what I'm about to say is common sense. And some of y'all are going to go, oh, yeah, that's just, we already do that, Phil. Okay, great. Not everybody does. Let me throw down a few suggestions that came out of this article. Rather than just reading from the article, let me just kind of walk through some notes that I made out of it. Number one, form a group. What does that mean, Phil? I mean, form a group. Yeah. Find out that two or three of your friends are bothered. Several members of the PTA are bothered, or for that matter, maybe you feel like something's great and you don't want to see it messed up. And that makes a great point. There are wonderful, wonderful people that are educators today who are following a calling and getting paid, you know, not so much. And so I want to say that on the air right now. Thank you to those of you whose calling is to educate our kids, to love on our kids, to love them no matter what, and to, by the way, be there for them every day in the morning. And when their parents forget to pick them up, you're the one who stands there in the rain waiting for the parents to show up late for school to get them, and all those things. And I've got educators in my family. So that being said, thank you. There are some bad apples. They need to be dealt with. Form a group, number one. If you and some other parents, grandparents, concerned citizens have a care or concern that you feel like is not being addressed, then band together. Sometimes there's strength in numbers. Make a plan. Hey, you don't have to like form a corporation and, you know, file your paperwork with the Secretary of State and apply for nonprofit status to the IRS. Just get a group of folks together over coffee one day and say, how about we go to the next school board meeting? I'll go. If you'll speak, I'll speak. Okay. And the next thing you know, 5, 6, 7, 9, 12 of you show up. Makes a difference. It makes a difference. Here's the next one that came from the story. Know the laws of your state. Okay. You see something happening. What do the laws of your state say? Or how about this? You know, things like mask mandates. Do we have a law against that in Alabama? Or you're concerned about things like encouraging a child to get gender-affirming treatment, they call it. Do we have a law about that in the state of Alabama? And the answers to these questions are very likely yes, or at the work, for that matter, there might be a local regulation or a local school board policy. Know the laws of your state and locality. Know what they are, and you're better able to address it. That way, when you see something happening and you think, that shouldn't be happening, should it? You'll know. Next one, know your school board members. Your school board members are just normal men and women. They're just folks who go to the same restaurants, shop at the same malls, probably go to the same churches and synagogues as all the rest of us, and you see them out and about. Some of you know them personally, and if you don't, get to know them. Find out who represents your district or your portion of the community you live in, and just call and say, hey, can I introduce myself? I have a son, grandson, whatever. I have a child in the system, and you're my school board member. I just want to say hey, and then if I ever need something or have a concern, can I call you? Sure. I guarantee you they'll do it. In fact, they would love to hear from you, by the way, when nothing's wrong. So, I mean, if nothing's wrong, call and say, hey, nothing's wrong. I just want to make sure that you know who I am and I know who you are and how we reach each other. Folks, they are accessible. They are not on some ivory tower somewhere. They are right there in your community. They're just putting their pants on one leg at a time, like the rest of us. Here's the next one. Visit the classroom. This guy, Miller, is talking about how it was sneaky to him to put the books on the shelves and to hang the secret posters on the wall that had double meanings, and all these rubes in the redneck school where he was at didn't know what it meant. Go to the classroom. Go to the classroom and see what's on the shelf. Make an appointment. Go by the classroom. You can't show up during class time. That's disruptive. But you know what? You can show up at that classroom because your child's there. You can make an appointment with the principal and say, I just want to meet the teacher. We have PTA nights for that. I'm sorry. He teaches my child every day. I'd like to have an appointment, please. And then go in and just see what's up. Get to know the teacher. Get to know the teacher. And by the way, if the teacher's doing something right, thank them. Thank them. They will work 10 times harder knowing that someone actually thanked them one day than they will knowing that someone cussed them out on the street twice. I'm just telling you, they will. And the last thing I'll say is this. A great point, very practical in this article. Don't just sign the forms at the beginning of the school year without reading them. And if you see something in the form like you give consent for medical advice without having to call you, you're welcome to line that piece out and write it in the way you see fit, like except when it regards things like gender and that kind of. You don't have to just consent to everything. You can ask permission for it to be modified if you have concerns. Because it's a legal and binding agreement you're making with the school, make sure you know what it says. All right, there you go. Practical tools to protect your kids from the woke agendas at school. Coming up next, Senator Tommy Tuberville calling in. We'll be talking about the National Defense Authorization Act, defense spending, and where we're headed next. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about this show is way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're switching gears now. We just left number one of the Triple Dipper, woke education, behind. We're moving now to the next part of the Triple Dipper, defense spending, defense policy. And right now, the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA, has made it through the House machinations, and it's headed into the Senate. And so what better person to talk to about all of that plus more is our own U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville. Senator Tuberville is the right now is still called the junior senator, soon to be the senior senator from the state of Alabama, and we're glad to have him on Right Side Radio. Senator Tuberville, how are you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. And hey, listen, before we jump into the NDAA, I got to ask. I just saw a little while ago Coach Mike Leach just passed away, Mississippi State coach, and my recollection was he preceded you. He was right before you at Texas Tech. Am I right?
Exactly right. Mike and I grew up in the business together, and what a great guy. He's different. You know, he actually brought the – he and Hal Mumme brought the passing game, spread passing game, to fruition, and he's very innovative. Very different, but Mike and I are good friends, and yes, I did. I took over for him at Texas Tech when he left and got into radio and TV for a while, and then he got back in at Washington State. Just a great guy, and what a tragedy.
Well,
you know, you never know. You know, you just never know.
Yeah, it's a shame, and he'd actually come on kind of strong there at Mississippi State, so I know they're grieving down there and his family as well. But anyway, I just wanted to ask you about that, and I appreciate you taking a second there. Listen, Senator, the NDAA, there's a lot of stuff in it. Folks don't realize it's not just money, it's also policy. But it's got some things in there, and not the least of which is you've been calling on Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin to clarify his statements about the DOD funding abortion and abortion travel. Talk about that for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's a disaster. It's this administration that thinks that they can circumvent the Constitution and go around Congress and pretty much call the law and make the law as they see. And what happened is we started hearing they were going to change the policy for military abortions, which right now our policy is, you know, incest, rape, or harm to the mom, physical harm, you can have an abortion. And we average around 20 a year for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. But on the preface of this new woke group that we have in Washington, D.C., they have decided to change basically the federal law, which they can't do, by the way. They say they got clarification from the Department of Justice, which Department of Justice is like this administration. They ain't elected, okay? Congress was elected to make the law. So I got a briefing on it about, about 2 weeks ago, and I was shocked of what they're going to do. Now they're going to allow abortion on demand. They can, any woman can have an abortion anytime they want, be flown anywhere they want, and also dependents of the families. And we're going to go from 20 a year to a third party group said we're going to go up to around 4,000 to 5,000 a year.
Wow.
And the American taxpayers paying for this. And I hit the ceiling. And, you know, again, this is changing federal law. You cannot do it. But this group, this woke group in Washington, up here in Washington, D.C., that's running the show, thinks that they own the world and they're going to change it. And by golly, what I did is I said, okay, you're going to change it during the holidays. Nobody's going to hear really about it. But if you do change it, I'm going to hold every nomination that the Department of Defense is going to bring in front of Congress. And that's one thing you can do as a senator. You can stop it all. All you got to do is put a hold on it. You don't have to agree to it. And they can't bring it up to a vote. And so I told them, y'all do this, I'm going to put a hold on every nomination. And you want to play hardball, I can play hardball. And it really makes me mad that they think that they can just make the laws without going through Congress. And it's just, but that's how this group is.
Well, and you're exactly right. And Senator, I appreciate it. I mean, I hate to see anybody's flag officer nomination held up. I mean, they've earned the right to be a general or an admiral. But nonetheless, what you're doing is sending a direct line to his boss saying, listen, your folks aren't going to be admirals and generals on my watch unless you're going to clarify and perhaps even back off some of your policies. And that's the position you've been put in. And so I appreciate you taking a stand on it.
Well, I appreciate it. And again, they're letting people run over us at the border. They're letting crime run rampant. Inflation is going sky high. We've got, we're trying to do away with fossil fuels, which is, by the way, impossible. It can't happen. They ain't figured that out yet. Our world is caving in on top of us, and they're out there worried about things that we shouldn't be worrying about. So, I'm in a fight here now. I mean, this is going to be a fist fight, but I can win this one. I just, as you said, I hate to see somebody not get a promotion, but they're going to explain to me why they're doing this.
Well, and I agree. They're going to get their promotion eventually, though, and I do believe it. But in the meantime, they got an answer to those that they're supposed to answer to, and you're one of them. Let me ask you this, though, Senator. One of the things that's also in the NDAA in the House, they in a bipartisan fashion, which kind of surprised me, they actually pulled out the military vaccine mandate. And you're part of a group of senators that are working against the vaccine mandates in the military. And give me your thoughts on whether we can hold that up in the Senate when it comes forward.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like the abortion law that they're putting. They say in that this abortion law is hurting our recruitment efforts, which right now nobody wants to get in the military because they see how woke it is, what they're being taught, the mandates. And this, you know, this abortion thing, nor the mandates have anything to do with getting in, other than the fact that our young men and women don't want any part of the military. And so finally they've come around, the House said, okay, we'll take it out. But the problem I've got with is they're taking it out, but they're not giving us any language to where they can't turn around and put it back in. And also what they're doing is they're not allowing the ones that have gotten out, allow them to come back with back pay. I mean, they don't care anything about the military now. They want control of this country. That's what they're doing. They've been doing it ever since they got in on January the 20th, almost 2 years ago. And our world's crumbling underneath their feet. And it just so much disappoints me that the American people, and not in Alabama, but in other states, didn't see what was going on, and they reelected these goofballs back in their control in the Senate for the next 2 years. It's just mind-boggling. There weren't enough people that was educated enough to see what was happening, and either that or we just did a poor job of selling it. And unfortunately, you know, Herschel lost right there at the end, which right. cost us a bunch, and it's going to cost this country. And it concerns me to no end.
Well, Coach, Senator, it's kind of an odd thing. We just saw Kyrsten Sinema decide she's an independent now. So I don't know that the balance of power truly shifted because she's not like she suddenly became a conservative. But nonetheless, do you see other possibilities of shifting the balance of power by people sort of declaring their positions being different than they've always been?
Well,
Joe Manchin
I don't see
comes
anybody
to mind.
Else, no. Joe Manchin, I talk to him all the time about it, and that's not going to happen unless something drastic happens. They actually lied to the guy. They had him sign off on that Inflation Reduction Act, said they were going to give him this handshake agreement about permitting more oil wells across the country and a pipeline through, which is very much needed. And it's almost finished, 95% finished. Joe Biden stopped it through West Virginia. They were going to give him that opportunity to crank it up back up. Well, they passed the Inflation Reduction Act, and these progressive leftists in the House and some in the Senate says, we got his vote, the heck with it. We're not going to allow him to do it. And so they downright lied to him. And so, but that's what this group does now. They live and feed on their own. And again, I'm not giving up on Joe Manchin. I'd love for him to come over and caucus with us and flip this thing around. But unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen unless they continue to play stupid, which they've done for 2 years.
Well, yeah, we'll wait and see. I think the world's kind of watching right now. I think Kirsten Sinema shocked a few people, but nonetheless, let me jump back real quick before we run out of time here, Senator. On that NDAA, you're a sitting member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Your thoughts on, is this thing going to pass in its current form? Will it be sent back to the House with many amendments? Do you see it getting passed before the end of the year? What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, we're here waiting, and I was thrilled to death to see the other day. Normally we've got some Republican senators that fall in line with the Democrats that spend a lot of money, but we had a meeting of all 100 last week, and Leader McConnell stood up and says, "You keep adding stuff to this thing, we'll vote against the NDAA. It ain't going to work. We're not going to do it again. We're going to vote for a military budget, and that's it." And so they kind of stood up in their seats and said, "Uh-oh, they're not playing around anymore," and which I hope we're not. I hope. But they've got it pretty clean as we speak. They're not adding all the junk to it. And, you know, hopefully we get a clean one. And I think we will pass it either Thursday night or Friday of this week.
Well, and I think that's a great prediction, and I look forward to seeing what the final outcome is. The question I have for you on that too, though, is do you see anything about Space Command being in Huntsville written into the NDAA?
Oh my God, no, it's not an NDAA. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to be. It's already been approved, and of course the Democrats come in with the new administration. They start saying, "Hey, we want it in Colorado, and so we want more studies." So they did three more studies on it. I mean, spent millions of dollars, and it comes back Huntsville all the way. But we cannot get anybody to pull the trigger on this thing. It's just the way it is. And I don't know. We're waiting on the Secretary of Air Force to make the call. But it's the right thing to do to put it in Huntsville because it's the right place. But again, doing things right in this place called the Swamp, Washington D.C. happens very seldom, the right thing.
Well, nonetheless, we're glad you're there, Coach, and we appreciate you spending some time with us today. And if I can stop calling you Coach, that would be very helpful. Senator Tuberville, thank you for your time.
No, no. Everybody calls me Coach up here. That's how I'm recognized. So I'm kind of offended sometimes when people call me Senator. But I'm glad to be a Senator, but I was also glad to be a Coach, and I'm glad to be representing Alabama. And folks, we're fighting hard, but I tell you what, the animals are running a zoo up here right now. And you know, we got our boxing gloves on. Looks like we're going to take them off and start fist fighting up here because it's gotten to that point.
All right. Well, listen, Coach, keep us posted. And if something develops on that NDAA, you're welcome back on the show later this week. All right.
You got it. Thank you. Merry Christmas. And everybody have a good holiday.
Yes, sir. You too. All right, Boomer, take us to the break. We'll come right back, and we'll dig into some things that we didn't get into on the phone call that are also in the NDAA, like what's going on with Taiwan and Ukraine. And, oh, by the way, how about things like what's coming to Alabama in terms of what they put in the bill? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Moving into the final part of the second hour here, we're on number two of the Triple Dipper, defense spending. So, listen, that interview we just had there with Senator Tuberville, he sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee. And if you're not familiar, we have Congressman Mike Rogers also, who represents what I would call like the eastern edge of Alabama mostly, running from about Anniston, Calhoun County, straight down the line to Lee County, where Auburn is, and all that area in between, and some kind of like into St. Clair, that area. All that to say, Congressman Mike Rogers is very likely going to be the next chairman of House Armed Services. That's a big deal. So we have great representation for military legislative affairs for Alabama. Now, Congressman Rogers came out with a statement that was published in Yellowhammer News just in the last few days. Storyline here from Yellowhammer: House-approved defense bill includes wins for Alabama. So some things are in the bill you might want to know about. By the way, not every Republican's happy with this bill, just so you know. There are some that believe it was porked up, and I'm sure it probably was because it's in D.C. Some things that were in it, though, that will have a direct impact on Alabama. First of all, it was an $847 billion bill, all right? It was an increase over that of the amount that was requested by the Biden administration, because the Biden administration, much like the Obama-Biden administration, has been cutting back on military funding. So Congress, in a bipartisan fashion, by a vote of 350 to 80, bumped that up to $847 billion. I want to say it was like $47 billion more than what the president had asked for. So Congressman Mike Rogers, Republican from Calhoun County, he played a big role in this, and his statement said, "This year's NDAA makes critical investments in our military to maintain our overmatch with China, from boosting deterrence to securing our supply chain. It demonstrates strength in the face of China's threats." He also said, "I'm also proud this year's NDAA supports our service members by repealing the COVID vaccine mandate, as well as providing a boost in service member pay and allowances." Congressman Gary Palmer also chimed in on that. He praised the work of Republicans to repeal the vaccine mandate, saying, "It's critical that we continue to fund and strengthen our military, especially at this crucial time when China in particular is an ever-growing threat. This legislation repeals the unnecessary vaccine mandate, which will help mitigate the slump in our recruitment and retention." So those things are in the bill. But what else is in the bill? Like, all right, it's funding. Funding always goes to things and to people, right? Things and people. Well, there's definitely going to be some new funding for the Anniston Army Depot. The Defense Logistics Agency warehouse there is going to get upfunded. There's a new funding line for Auburn University's got a battery research program because, they're looking at, you know, how to strengthen and lengthen the time that batteries will help, power military equipment. Probably going to be some in there about green energy, but we'll see. Increase in authorized funds for armored multipurpose vehicle in procurements. That's going to affect our National Guard, I'm sure. Increase in authorized funds for Stryker upgrades. I'm not sure if we have Strykers anywhere in the Alabama National Guard, but I do know this. Anniston Depot is probably going to be involved in some of the enhancements to armored vehicles like the Abrams tank and Strykers. It'll also investment in accelerating the depot and shipyard maintenance. Well, that's, you look down in Mobile, the Port of Mobile is a major shipbuilding area, and we're looking at enhancements for both, I think. It reverses Joe Biden's cuts to the procurement of new aircraft and combat vehicles. Yay. It improves test and evaluation to expedite the fielding of advanced capabilities. What that basically means is the development and acquisition of new weapons systems and weapons capabilities. Putting a new vehicle inspection station at Maxwell Air Force Base. I'm not sure how big a deal that is, but it's on there. It also, by the way, it upfunds Montgomery Regional Airport, where they base the F-35s in the Alabama Air National Guard. So a lot of things coming to Alabama in this regard, and I'm sure it'll be across the board. It also increases funding for military housing and, of course, a pay increase and pay allowances for military personnel. Now, the House Freedom Caucus is not entirely satisfied. Representative Chip Roy, who I think the world of, he had an issue with this. He said he was irritated that he had a 4,400-page bill for $860 billion that was dropped on the House floor and given less than 48 hours to actually read it, unless you were on the committees that worked on it. And he said, that's an insult. And I don't disagree with that. He says, our military should be focused on defending the Republic and defeating our enemies, full stop. But the bill included things like the reauthorization of the Coral Reef Conservation Act. Why was that in there? Because it was a pork thing designed to get a vote from somebody. That's exactly why. Taxpayer funds to, quote, combat vaccine hesitancy abroad. Really? And a mandate to transition non-tactical military vehicles to electric vehicles. Okay, well, at least they're non-tactical, because I was getting a little concerned about how they're going to possibly make a Humvee stay charged up in the field. It also, by the way, he said, and this is what Coach Tuberville and I just talked about, it greenlights the Pentagon's move to start funding abortion travel for service members and their families, which is ridiculous. And my recollection is that's a violation of federal law, which I believe the senator said also. All right, we got a little more on this, some things that are in the bills and things that are not in the bill. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, the local, the state, the national, we cover down on all of the issues. And like the dude said, we are solid conservative and just plain right. Boomer, hour number three, dude.
I just looked down and you were like, we're going into hour number three. I said, no, we're not.
Goodness, this day has flown by. Hey, listen, we're in number two of the triple dipper, defense spending, things that are happening in the defense budget. I got to tell you, I got a little bit of heartburn on one of the things that's not in there. All right, Boomer, have you ever seen, it's a ground attack aircraft. It's the Air Force flies it. It's called the A-10 Warthog. You ever seen it?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Listen, it's the most unusual looking. That's a sexy plane, man.
Oh man.
And have you ever seen a live fire with one?
No.
Listen, when A-10 comes overhead, you just feel safer. As a former ground pounder, I'll just tell you, when an A-10 comes overhead, you just feel safer. If you ever seen one do live fire, they've got a Gatling gun that sticks out of the nose of this thing, and it just comes in on target, and I just thought it goes, and things disappear.
Wow.
Like, literally, things disappear. And what's crazy is, if you watch it do the live fire, it's on its approach to the target, and as it comes in on target and it lights up that Gatling gun, I swear, the first time I ever saw it, it looked like the plane stopped in midair because of the recoil of the Gatling. It's like the plane bucked.
Wow.
I don't know how that happens, but...
Is this it right here?
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it right there, yeah.
Wow.
Man, there's, that's cool. It's A-10s doing gun runs is something to behold, and that sound it makes is so distinctive, and the guys who are on the ground always feel better knowing that there's either a Spectre overhead or an A-10 Warthog on station, and it appears that after much ado, because listen, this has been a battle. So the Air Force wants to retire the A-10. It's not sexy enough for them. They want something that's more fly-by-wire and electronics and all kinds of, you know, smooth lines. Well, the A-10 is like, I don't know, it's like the classic muscle car next to the modern Corvette, but nonetheless, it's just good. Well, the new NDAA, it appears, is going to allow the Air Force to finally retire a part of its A-10 fleet. That's literally been a battle, the DOD battling with Congress. Well, it appears that the NDAA, having passed the House, has a provision in it that does allow consent for the Air Force to go ahead and retire one of its Air National Guard squadrons stationed at Fort Wayne Air National Guard Base in Indiana. And they'll get replaced with F-16s. So, see what they're doing? They're replacing the A-10 with the F-16s. Why? Because, I don't know, it looks sexier to them, I guess. No, not to the ground pounders.
I mean, that's pretty cool just looking at it.
We like it when the Warthog comes in low and slow and just lights things up, man. Got a caller on the line? I do. Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how are you doing today, bud?
Mighty fine, and I hope you gentlemen are too, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Man, the A-10 Warthog, before I hit NCO level and everything, I was actually at Biggs Army Airfield outside of El Paso, Texas, and I would be guarding a pair of those planes on occasion.
Oh, yeah.
Getting to put my hand on the outside of them and look at them, and then when I was actually in the tank in the field, yes, we want that slow and accurate flyover.
Yeah.
And it was, oh, man, those things are so amazing. And the people that fly them, too,
yeah,
which are Air Force, not Army, even though they were guarding us in cavalry regiment.
But there's something about an A-10 pilot that I think he identifies more with the guys on the ground sometimes than he does with other members of the flying force in the Air Force, don't you think?
I imagine so, but I never got to meet one of the fine folks.
Well, they're edgier. Like the A-10 pilots always seem a little edgier because they know their mission is to get way down low where you know, surface-to-air missiles can hurt on a slow-flying aircraft, but they will be in the mix with you, and they'll light things up for you. And
they get down there to where all the little light any aircraft can get to you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the missile.
Small arms
fire. I'm talking about bullets.
Absolutely. Hey, Brian, thanks for your service, as always. Yeah. Thanks for your service, man. Thanks for the call. I got one more to jump on real quick.
Bye.
Hey, line two, is that, hey, Burma, you ready for that one? Is that Sparky? Sparky's on line two. How you doing, bud?
Hey, I'm good. Happy Tuesday to you and Boomer. And I thought I'd share in on the A-10 Thunderbolt II Warthog love. I was a scout pilot in the Army, graduated in flight school in 79, worked with the A-10s in joint air attack team operations.
Yeah.
You know, scouts and Cobras and A-10s. And I just absolutely in love with the aircraft and those people, and worked with them for so many years. And it was on the scrap heap several times over the decades.
Yeah.
And every time something would happen where, especially the first Gulf War, where it just had its day in the sun. And I remember watching out of King Fahd, watching A-10s heavily laden with bombs and ordnance, and then coming back wings empty during the start of the air war, and just cheering, you know, guys just cheering and jumping up and down.
Yeah.
It was so flipping cool.
Yeah. And they are literally tank destroyers. If they come in hard, they can literally take out an armored column. And they did it, didn't they? And that highway of death towards the end of the Gulf War, the A-10s to kind of wrecked that place, didn't they?
Absolutely. They literally, I mean, they went up there and had a ball. They had a lot of fun, but they also destroyed a whole lot of enemy armor and trucks and equipment. And I don't know, man, just so good. Hey, did I understand that this defense appropriation bill passed today? Was the immunization mandate removed, or what happened?
If it, no, it didn't pass today. Senator Tuberville was on a few minutes ago. He said that it is due to come up this week, though. They think they'll pass it by Thursday or Friday. And currently, he's saying that the vaccine mandate is out of it, but that Senate Republicans are questioning why they've not allowed for back pay and reinstatement of those who lost their careers because of it.
Roger. Well, there has to be specific wording saying it's not only it's out of there, but it's gone, and people are allowed to come back and allowed to serve in good science and good conscience.
Absolutely. I would think so, too. And speaking of which, Sparky, I just had somebody text in that said that you're retiring, and so if that's the case, man, blessings on you and happy retirement.
Yeah, 18 days. I will be leaving the workforce, going on Social Security, and becoming a complete and utter pain in the butt to your government. So if you think I don't hold my tongue now.
Well, listen, man, that's not 18 days. That's 17 and a wake up. So blessings on you. And thanks for your years of service.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We'll see you. Oh, that's as good. Listen, there's a ton of stuff in this NDAA, by the way. Gary from Decatur, by the way, is Puff the Magic Dragon. Yes, sir. That was a predecessor to current day Spectre. By the way, I've got a souvenir, Boomer. Next time you're at the house, I got to show you. Spectre Gunship. You ever seen a Spectre Gunship?
Not in person.
Oh, well, Lord. Man.
I would love to. I mean, there's so many things of the military and stuff. I mean, I see pictures, right. And I'm like, Oh my word, that's just remarkable.
I'll be honest with you, man. The Spectre gunship, having watched it actually in combat, it's amazing what it can do. But I've got on my shelf at home, Operation Anaconda was the name of the operation to attempt to get bin Laden and the Taliban when they were running through the Tora Bora Mountains at the beginning of the war in Afghanistan. And I was over there at the time, met up. My team was infilling through Uzbekistan. We had a special operations base up in Uzbekistan called K2. And that's where the Spectre gunships were stationed, and they would launch out every night and go do their raids and sorties over like Tora Bora and others. I met up with a Spectre gunner one day in the chow hall or someplace, and I said, "Hey, dude, what's a guy got to do to score one of those brass 105 shells?" And he goes, "I will square you away." So sitting on my shelf at home is a 105 brass shell casing that was fired over the Tora Bora Mountains in Afghanistan from a Spectre.
Oh man,
it's a trophy.
I need to see this.
It is a trophy.
Wow.
All the stuff in the end. How did I get off on this? Oh, I know why we were talking about A-10s. Here
right.
I am talking about. I'm talking about defense spending, and I got off onto war stories. Didn't mean to do that. But hey, listen, couple more things that are in this bill. We're going to cover it when we get back. Just so you know, we'll wrap this thing up here in just a few minutes. What's going on with money for Ukraine? Money for security for Taiwan? How about things like, is there going to be reinstatement and back pay for those who lost their jobs because of the vaccine mandates? And then for that matter, what about Space Force? Anything in this thing? How about a Space National Guard? I'll tell you all about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, before we go any further, I got to tell you folks, my friends Riley and Jackson Law Firm down in Birmingham, they are a Birmingham-based firm that works all over the state. And Riley and Jackson has been doing some bang-up work on veterans-related issues. So here's the thing. If you are a veteran of the Marine Corps, and you were stationed at Camp Lejeune between the years 1953 and 1987, or for that matter, you might have been a dependent, or even just there on training or TDY as a contractor, if you were at Camp Lejeune during that large window of time, 53 to 87, you may well have been exposed to what has been confirmed to be contaminated water that has been tied to up to 19 different major illnesses. Riley and Jackson's got like five attorneys working this issue, and I wish you would check them out. They've already got several of our Right Side clients already, or Right Side listeners already as clients. But the other thing they wanted me to let y'all know is that if you were a firefighter or in the military using firefighting foam, they are right now working a major case that clearly indicates that if you were exposed to a carcinogenic version of firefighting foam, that you may well have a claim. So I would just encourage you to give them a call. They will not charge you for the call. They will talk through it with you. They'll let you know if you have a claim, and they will not charge you ever a dime unless they get money for you. So here's the deal. Riley and Jackson, they're based in Birmingham, but they work all over the state. They'll take your call from wherever you are in the listening area. Here's their number. Are you ready? 205-879-5000. That's 205-879-5000. And please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And what's that thing I got to do? No promises made that the quality legal services provided is better than the quality legal services provided by some other law firm down the road. That's what I was winging that a little bit. I think I better do a better job of that one next time. All right. Hey, by the way, I just saw a text on the text line. Boomer pointed it out to me. John from Decatur says an A-10 saved my bacon south of Baghdad. Got pinned down in Al-Jarrah. Pilot said, hold on, I got you. Three birds, and the battle was over. Love that. Thank you for your service, John from Decatur. We got several great texts on the line. JT from Lacey Springs says A-10's an aerial can of whoop something, you know. And then says, my youngest sister used to say, retiring the A-10, that's not dumb. It's just dang dumb. I agree, man. I'm going to miss that thing. Listen, what else is in that NDAA? Now, keep in mind, it's not done yet. They got to get through the Senate processes. Senate Armed Services appears to be ready to advance a version of the bill, but there's still some debate left to be had. And if nothing else, the floor debate. If it passes the Senate, it's still got to get signed off by the president. Right now, we are seeing that the House was able to pull the vaccine mandate and defund that and to put policy positions in place that would not allow it to be in place. However, I appreciate Senator Tuberville a moment ago saying that it does not address, and he's very concerned about it, does not address reinstatement for those who lost their careers because of that just awful mandate to include giving them back pay. And I would also add to that and their time for a merit-based service, time. It leading towards promotion points and that kind of thing. That's got to be addressed. Other things that are in the bill. First of all, there is a provision in there to provide additional aid to both Taiwan and Ukraine. $10 billion, it says, in military aid for Taiwan, which includes measures to address foreign military sales and training. So $10 billion in military aid for Taiwan, that's a direct affront to China. It also says they have $800 million more in the budget for Ukraine security assistance. I will point out, though, that there's a discussion in the bill about a framework on the IG's oversight of the Ukrainian funds because of growing skepticism on the Republican side about where all the money's going and do we truly have a good grip on the fact that it's being spent in the right way. I just saw, by the way, it broke news a little while ago. It looks like Patriot missiles may be heading over to Ukraine, which I got a news is going to be a game changer if it does. And then this compromise bill, it also says on here, it has some provisions in there that lifted what they called complicating measures about arms transfers to certain countries. So basically, there were those who are opposed to the idea of assisting Saudi Arabia with arms or providing additional arms to groups that are not necessarily nation-based, but they are ideologically based, like the Kurds fighting in Syria, I'm sure. So we'll see how that goes. Last thing I got out of this, because Chuck Schumer says this thing's coming up. He says they'll consider it this week. It'll be roughly an $858 billion package once they get it on the floor. I'm hoping there's going to be a little bit of fiscal constraint. They won't pork that sucker up any more than they already have. But I will say this, one of the few places where I see big spending as being a thing that has to be examined is when it comes to providing for our military and making sure we have the best of what it takes to fight. Last thing is, the NDAA does boost the new Space Force budget, all right? $3.63 billion in procurement funds, adding about $447 million to what the president had asked for. What it didn't do, and kind of surprised people, is it pulled out a provision to create a Space National Guard. That had been pushed by the National Guard Bureau, but that was stripped out of the bill in negotiations between, the Republicans and Democrats as they were wrangling over things. I guess that was seen as, well, we don't have it now. Let's just don't start that one and we'll save the money. So they put the money somewhere else. Either way, Space Force got a plus up and a bit of a setback, but Space Force is still a growing member of the force. We'll see how that goes in years to come. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears. We're going to come right back, and I tell you what, I'm going to open the text lines. Boomer, prepare yourself.
All right.
Here's a Here's a Christmas-based question.
Oh.
I'll be dealing with number three on the Triple Dipper, but I'm still curious. In your opinion, and here's the text line number. If you want to text your answer into this, 833-687-4448. Since we talked about movies today, is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? That's my question. Come out to the city, have a few laughs. Who knew? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? The text line is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT.
And remember, it's for text.
Text. Don't light up the phone lines.
Light up the phone lines.
Boomer saying, hang on, Phil. Is it a Christmas movie, Die Hard, a Christmas movie, or not? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, listen, we got a texting poll going on right now, a texting poll. Here's my question. My question for you is this. Is Die Hard, the original Die Hard, not like multiple sequels thereafter, but is the original Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? I want to know. So you texted in.
There's some passionate people.
Are there some folks getting in it right now?
Yes.
If you want to text in your answer, 833-687-4448. Boomer's taking a tally right now. I won't say which side's winning, but he just told me that one side is dominating the issue of the yes or the no's. 833-687-4448. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie or is it not? Hey, Boomer. Just gotta ask. So, Just Love Coffee Cafe, their menu is pretty excellent. Mm. If you are able to go eat there, like say tomorrow morning or for lunch or whatever else, what would you? All right, I tell you what. You want a breakfast or a lunch option right now? If I call
let's
one out.
Let's go lunch. Let's go lunch. Yeah.
How about the Jive Turkey Wrap?
Oh.
Flour, tortilla, turkey, bacon, provolone cheese, spinach, and creamy pepper jelly spread served with chips and a pickle spear.
I'll take it.
Just Love Coffee has all these amazing foods. I love the idea of the womblet, which I talk about all the time on here. They also got a thing on their breakfast menu called the Bacon Tater. It's Ooh. A hash brown waffle. A hash brown waffle with cheddar cheese and bacon sprinkled with black pepper and served with a side of sour cream or ketchup. Dang! Anyway, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations in our listening area, one on Hughes Road out in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Their menu is excellent. Their coffees are excellent. Their atmosphere is excellent. I encourage you, check them out. And when you do, like when you're checking out, tell the person at the counter, yeah, we heard about this on Right Side Radio. I get the biggest kick when Travis, the guy who owns those two stations there, or two restaurants, tells me, man, we got more people coming in saying they heard about it on Right Side. Just Love Coffee Cafe, Hughes Road in Madison, South Parkway in Huntsville. And the text is blowing up right now.
Oh, man, I'm trying to keep up. So. That's all why right. I'm staying quiet over here. I'm like trying to read all these texts coming through.
Well, while he's doing that, I'll jump to number three of the Triple Dipper, which we're going to cover here in the next 20 minutes. So here's the bottom line. Government-run health care. Well, okay. Is that a fiscally irresponsible idea? Some would say it is. I've got my piece here from Alabama Policy Institute, Justin Bogey, my friend over there, the fiscal analyst. He wrote this piece about the provisions of Obamacare costing so much more. If we expand it under Obamacare's provision, expand Medicaid, then we're looking at literally adding potentially hundreds of millions of dollars to the Alabama budget. All right. That's a big deal. Fiscally speaking, the expansion of government-run health care is virtually unsustainable. The current cost to the state of Alabama alone for its match of Medicaid consumes an entire chunk. I'm talking like between Medicaid and corrections, you're looking at 42 to 44% of the budget, those two added together. I've forgotten how much of that is Medicaid, but it's a sizable portion. It's one of the biggest expenditures we incur every year in the Alabama appropriations, state-level appropriations. If you do this on a national scale, what's going to happen? Okay, that's fiscal. That's money. Let's talk about it from a different angle, though. What happens when you have government-run healthcare? What happens when you get to the point that they're literally looking at you saying, I'm sorry, the doctor won't see you now? What are we seeing in nations that have already gone down this road, who have socialized medicine? Because make no mistake, Obamacare is socialized medicine. Expansion of Medicaid is the expansion of a social program. It's an entitlement provided by the government using tax dollars. And the idea of expansion, don't think what that means is we're gonna provide more capabilities. No, you're not. All you're doing is saying you're increasing the roles. You're going to make it easier for more people to get in who don't necessarily have to give it their insurance that way. We already have the lowest income strata in our community served by Medicaid. Expansion of Medicaid means they add more people on. And I'm trying to think what the level is. And forgive me if I get this slightly wrong, but I believe that for the CHIPS program, which is the Medicaid version of child health insurance, you can be at like 300% of the poverty level, making $84,000 a year and qualify for government health care. Okay, that's money. What happens, though, to quality? And what happens to society? Well, here's an example for you. Canada, our neighbor to the north. Canadians right now, according to the Epoch Times in a story that's only 2 days old, wait times for specialists and surgery in Canada are their highest in nearly 30 years. It says Canadians are now waiting longer than ever before to see a specialist, to obtain diagnostic procedures, or to undergo surgeries. This year, it says, in their social medicine program, 1.2+ million Canadians are waiting for procedures in 10 of their provinces. This is roughly 3.2% of the entire population of the country awaiting medical treatments. A group called the Fraser Institute says that in the nearly 30 years it's been documenting how long it takes to receive necessary treatments in Canada, this year's wait time of 27.4 weeks. 27.4 weeks. That's half a year. 27.4 weeks. Just to get in to see treatment. It says the wait time this year in Canada is 195% longer than the median waiting time of 9.3 weeks back in 1993. It's longer than the wait time of 25 weeks in 2021. It's longer than the wait time of 20 weeks in 2019, the year before COVID. It's like become the defining characteristic of Canadian healthcare, it says. Wait times, there's a point being made. It's a quote from a report from the Fraser Institute. It says, wait times can and do have serious consequences such as increased pain and suffering and mental anguish. In certain instances, they also result in poorer medical outcomes because it transforms potentially reversible illnesses into chronic conditions because you couldn't get in to see a doctor. All right, how about this? You and I both know that if you need an MRI here in the States, you can go get it fairly quickly. You need a CT scan, you can go get it like the same day or tomorrow. In Canada, the average wait time to get a CT scan, 5.4 weeks. In Canada, the average time in waiting to get an MRI, 10.6 weeks. I know, man. I'm looking at Boomer reacting to this. The wait time for an ultrasound, 4.9 weeks. Unreal. And yet, are they going to crow about this? I guarantee you, Justin Trudeau is crowing about, well, in Canada, we take care of our people. No, not really, sir. Not really. The wait time to see a specialist has increased in 7 provinces since 2021. 7 of their provinces. It just goes on and on from there, listing out what happens. This is what happens when the government's the one running your health care. Well, there's attempts right now to expand it. But you got to say, okay, that's Canada, Phil. What else? How about the United Kingdom? How about in the United Kingdom what we're seeing? Because right now in the United Kingdom, it says more than 6 million people, a record high, are on waiting lists for mere routine care. 24,000 patients have been waiting 2 years for some hospital treatments. Can you imagine? 24,000 people waiting for 2 years for what you and I might get checked in a single day as long as they had a bed available. It says patients are stuck waiting no matter how serious their condition is. One quarter of patients with suspected cancer have had to wait over 2 weeks to see a specialist in Great Britain. One third of cancer patients have had to wait more than 2 months to start their treatments. So once you get diagnosed, you kind of want to attack it right away, right? You don't sit around on cancer. One third of cancer patients in Great Britain have had to wait 2 months just to start their treatments. Mental health services. One patient told the Huffington Post in an article that I've got here in Forbes. He considers himself lucky to have gotten mental health support after waiting a year. A year. He had previously been on a list told he would wait for 18 months. He was lucky to have gotten in a year. Delays in hospital treatment are not expected to ease up for the next 2 years. 11 million people, less than one in five Great Britons, could be in treatment queues by the year 2024. This is what happens when the government runs your health care. I'm just telling you, we don't want to go down that road. And yet, what boggles my mind is how you can watch this happen. It's not like this is something we can't see. I just read you stats. Not from some faraway place that we can't get good data from, like, I don't know, name one, Nepal. But I'm saying this is Canada. This is England. And we're reading the stats on what happens when the government is in charge of your health care. And yet I'm still looking at an article here from NPR extolling the virtues of Medicare for All and talking about the fact that in the state of Washington, they're trying to lead the way by having the first state-offered full Medicare or Medicaid for All program. And they're literally looking right now at the fact that hospitals in Washington State are resisting. Washington State legislators last year had to vote for special legislation to mandate the hospitals contract into the public options because many of them were resisting the idea. I'm telling you. I'll tell you what, Boomer, I will take that call real quick before we go to the break. Let's do that real quick. Line one, Mark from Owens Crossroads. Hey, Mark, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Colonel, listen, real quick about that universal health care.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, and there are a lot of socialism-type health care, particularly in the Nordic countries, and my aunts and uncles and that side of the family anyway, they will argue that that is proof why we should do it. Now, what I'll tell you real quick is those countries have 6 to 10 million people, not 330, 340 million.
Exactly.
So there's a huge difference. I wrote a big paper on how you can get certain social programs to work in smaller population countries. And it's mind-blowing. Anyway, you can't do it with 340 million people when 20 million people, which, by the way, is three times the population of Norway, are illegal, and they're here, too. That's all I had to say about that.
That's a great call, Mark. Thanks for your time, man. Perfect timing, too. We're up against the break. So, good input. And he's right. And by the way, do you trust the government that does things like put the Coral Reef Restoration Act into your defense spending bill and put vaccine mandates on soldiers that don't work but end their careers, do you trust them then to run your healthcare system? And I would think the answer would be no. No, absolutely not. Boomer, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. Let's hear the results of the poll coming up pretty soon. You got time to text it in, 833-687-4448. Do you think Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not? We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, ZLA Solutions, those are friends of mine running one of the best companies around right now that puts people and jobs together, ZLA Solutions. And you can, by the way, find them on their website, ZLAUSA.com. If you're looking for a job, here's step number one. If you're looking for a job, I would encourage you, go to their website, check it out, ZLAUSA.com. They've got great jobs posted all over North Alabama right now. They can line you up with something if you're looking for it. Good paying jobs, a lot of them with benefits. But how about this? If you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce and you need, I don't know, onesies and twosies, special knit skills, blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. Or for that matter, maybe you need a whole shift of people. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. They can do that, man. They can help you with all kinds of things like quality control, sorting and containment, logistical solutions, warehousing, but staffing's their bread and butter. And they can put people in place to work for you ASAP. So if you need folks or you need a job yourself, check them out at ZLAUSA.com. They like to say at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. That's their goal, to make your business better. So, yeah, check them out. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right, so we've been doing this texting poll as we wrap up the day here. Boomer is avidly checking texts and calculating on his spreadsheet over there. So the question has been, by virtue of text, tell us, do you believe that Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not? Boomer, are you still calculating? Need another minute? Oh, he's giving me the look. Hold on. He's still calculating. We got them coming in. Oh, I see one dropping in right now. We got new people that aren't even putting their names in yet. They're just texting in without even saying their names. I see yeses. By the way, we got a new texter, Michael, yeah. from is that Taft, Tennessee? Is that where he's from?
Taft, Tennessee.
Yeah, retired sergeant first class. Appreciate your service, sir. What you got, bud? All right. The question is Die Hard a Christmas movie or not?
We got a lot of texts.
A lot.
That's why it took me so long to figure it out.
All right, by percentage.
60%.
60% of your text
is a yes.
It's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie. But then there was a very emphatic 40% that was not a Christmas movie.
In fact, the first ones that came in, it was like, no, no, no.
I would say the majority of all the first, however many texts
the
just
first
came
wave.
In. Yeah, the first whole wave was emphatic no's.
Like they were almost offended
words.
By it. They were offended that we would even ask that question. And then all of a sudden, welcome to the party, pal. And you got all of the John McClane fans that kicked in.
Came in late. Yeah, they just came in late on the text thread.
By the way, and I know this is older than you are. The movie's probably older than you are. Is it?
When
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, all I know is this. The Bruce Willis had not been an action figure in my mind until that movie.
Really?
Yeah. It was like watching Liam Neeson.
No. Yeah, I was around.
Okay. Okay. All right. It was like watching Liam Neeson when he did Taken. I was like, Liam Neeson's an action guy? And yes, he was. But Bruce Willis came in and did Die Hard, and I was like, I remember leaving that movie, and I said to somebody, Bruce Willis is definitely an action figure.
Definitely an action figure.
Definitely an action figure. I'm looking at, I got several textures here that didn't even tell us their name. They just, oh, I think she did. She wrote it in there, Penny from Athens.
Yep.
Just said, yes, Die Hard's a Christmas movie. John McClane was part of our Christmas display in our front yard last year. And she sent a picture. Wait, that is awesome.
Oh, wow.
She's got a sign in the front yard with a guy with a mannequin dressed like John McClane. And it says, Nakatomi Plaza, never forget, December 1988. Yippee-ki-yay.
That's great.
That is awesome.
That's great.
Penny from Athens.
Wow.
Y'all rock. That's our Christmas decorations.
Man.
I love that.
Like, front lawn. I mean, yes.
They do have icicles and Christmas lights on the house, so it's not all about John McClane and Die Hard. But I'm still loving that. We got a listener that actually says, not only is it a Christmas movie, we use it as part of our decorations for Christmas.
Man.
I don't know that the face on the mannequin is a spitting image of John McClane. But nonetheless, I get he's wearing the wife beater shirt and the old worn out khakis and bare feet. So the bare feet's what got me in the movie too. I mean, when he ran across that glass and then he was trying to pull glass out of his feet later. Jeez. Yeah. And everybody wanted what's the guy's name, the actor who played the terrorist, head guy, but the blonde haired, I'm gonna think of his name here in a minute. Everybody wanted him gone, man. Old boy needed to die. That's all there was to it.
Hans,
who played? No, not Hans. Hans was the main bad guy. Who was the? I think was he a ballet star?
Oh right, give me a second.
Dang. Nonetheless, we're gonna run out of time before we even think of it.
That's right, because we only got a few.
I'm surprised we haven't got 15 texts already trying to tell us after we got the thing wrong about Rocky earlier.
They got on to us then.
It was Rocky IV. Oh, sorry. Okay, and John from Huntsville is just texting in right now. He's claiming voter fraud on your poll.
It was not voter fraud.
Election integrity means something, even when you're deciding whether or not Die Hard was a Christmas movie or not. John from Brownsboro says, would you rather watch Die Hard or Home Alone at the holidays? Depends on whether I'm with the grandkids or not. All right, folks, that's a great day. Listen, we got big doings tomorrow, the Grand Council tomorrow at 4. You're not going to want to miss it. Boomer and I back here at 2. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you then. Right Side Ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.